Welcome to the Black Vinyl Collective. Welcome to 2015. Trav, say hello.
Happy New Year to all of our faithful podcast listeners.
It's 2015. Trav is another year older, and I don't know how you do it. You just get hotter every year. Hotter and hotter.
It's not, the burden every year, just it's too heavy. I can't carry it, and somehow I figure out a way.
So, with 2015 comes some changes.
Yeah, we have good news and bad news. The bad news is we have officially lost our sponsorship with SkullToaster.com.
Our one and only sponsorship, gone.
Yeah,
just like
that. We're not going to be doing their commercials anymore because
of
the
illegal thing. Hey, Trav, do you think that we lost it because you, at some point, you talked some pretty serious trash on Seth? You said, I love SkullToaster, but I could pass on Seth. You think you took that personally?
I think that's what it was. I was joking, and
well, let's just ask Seth. Seth, what do you think?
Yeah,
that is incorrect.
Oh,
yes.
Well, then, Seth, why are we dropping the SkullToaster commercial then?
Because I bought my way onto the podcast,
ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
Seth W. Seth Werkheiser, creator of BuzzGrinder.com. The grandpappy of metal blogs,
the Noise Creep.
Birth point of Noise Creep has now joined Black Vinyl Podcast full time.
That is correct.
Despite Trav's trash talking on him.
It's a full time gig, 40 hours a week, excellent benefits package.
Really?
I already used one sick day.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did. He missed the Nick podcast because Seth got a little touch of the death and almost didn't make it.
Correct.
Buddy pulled through, and he joins us in 2015. And what better thing to do than just talk about the best of 2014, the obligatory best of 2014 podcast where we...
After.
Yeah. After. So, 2014, it seemed like there was a lot of big names that had records this year.
I had a great time this year. I tried to buy all the stuff that I wanted on vinyl. I tried to do the right thing and spend money and give it directly to the band and everything. And I bought everything that I could that actually did come out on vinyl, I think. Maybe a couple here and there I didn't get. But I thought it was a good year for music.
There were also tapes to buy in 2014.
I bought my first cassette since... I don't remember the last time I bought a
cassette.
Probably. Yes. I don't remember the last time I bought a cassette. I bought my first cassette this year in probably pushing 15, maybe 15 years. Maybe 20 years.
Once again, fueling the controversy that you are indeed a hipster buying cassette tapes.
Look, man, let's just settle this right now. I don't exactly understand what the definition of hipster is.
I don't either.
And I don't know why people keep saying that I'm a hipster just because I play disc golf and I drink coffee. Does that make you a hipster?
Pretty sure the disc golf exempts you from being a hipster.
Thank you. That makes me more of a pothead hippie, doesn't it?
If you also rode fixed gear bikes and wore, I don't know, maybe white rimmed glasses.
No.
That might offset the disc golf, but otherwise, no.
I actually got contact lenses in 2014 just so I could stop wearing glasses. I'm getting further from hipster, I think. I think I'm moving away from it, Jesse. I think this is all wrong.
Okay. I'm on your side. I'm not perpetuating the Trav hipster stereotype. It's all the internet buzz.
Internet buzz. Stop it. I got nothing. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
So let's talk about the best of 2014.
I think Seth should go first, being the new guy. Trial by fire. Let's hold his feet to the flames and say, hey, Seth Werkheiser, what did you buy this year?
Let's talk about all the stuff that was not quite the best but was good. Let's talk about our honorable mentions first.
Honorable mentions?
Honorable mentions first. Wow.
Yeah, wow. I see what you're doing.
So you want me to go for the... Oh, okay. Honorable mentions first. I would go... I'm going to list three. One of which is Sterilizer, which Travis alluded to earlier.
There's that cassette.
That was a cassette release by a buddy of ours on Twitter, Brandon Duncan.
Hi, Brandon.
Yes, Brandon, if you're listening. But yeah, he was a designer guy that we met on Twitter, I don't know, a year and a half ago or so. And then one day, like, 1 month, it was like, oh, I'm going to record an album. Okay, whatever. And then one day it was like, oh, it's on Bandcamp. Go buy it.
Yep.
And we did. And it's fantastic. If you're into, like, the old, like, 90s ministry kind
yes.
of stuff.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth.
Yeah, fantastic.
First
stuff.
Thing I did when I was done listening to Sterilizer was listen to it again, and then I started digging through my iTunes and figuring out which ministry albums I still have.
Yes, yeah, I did. I admit to listening to Psalm 69 after that one.
Not wrong with that.
Okay, no. Hang on. Why is this the first time hearing about this? You guys should have told me about this crap forever ago. What?
Probably the first time you're listening to this podcast.
First time listener.
Don't feel bad, Jesse. We're picking up subscribers every day, pal.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, this, you know why this sounds amazing, and like I'm a little butthurt now that you guys haven't shared this with me.
No, he butthurts all the time. I'm not worried about that.
Now you know. And now you can go buy it.
Okay, I'm super interested.
Good.
On cassette.
On cassette.
No. Can I get the Bandcamp, just the digital or whatever? I don't want a cassette.
You can do digital, yes.
Sweet.
Yep. But if you really like it, you know, you should buy a tape.
Yeah, if you want
to
be a
limited edition.
If you want to be a hipster.
Yeah. Right. And just two more, probably Mastodon's Once More Around the Sun. Excellent album.
Yes.
For whatever reason, didn't really make my top 10 because I think there was so much other amazing music, but I mean, it was definitely a good album.
Might have made my top 10 in artwork.
Yes, artwork was fantastic.
Crazy on that, yeah.
In sing-along ability, top 10.
Is that a category? I don't remember.
It is now.
It was the MTV Award in 1987. They discontinued it in 93. and finally, and I forget the name of the album, The New Godflesh.
I have not heard that.
Yeah, along the lines of Sterilizer as well. It's just it's brutal. It's mechanical. It's excellent.
Cool. I gotta get that.
Yes.
Are we going now? Is Jesse? Do you want Seth to go all the way up and do everything, or should we just go around the circle and do the honorable mentions?
I don't care. I want him to do whatever he wants.
Seth, all the way up to the top. Take us to the top, buddy.
Well, wait. I thought this is what I want. Not what you want, Travis.
So I wasn't asking what I want. I was asking for direction. I just, you know, I wanted to make sure that we didn't embarrass ourselves in front of the listeners like I'm doing now.
I would rather hand the baton off to you, Travis, and have you discuss your honorable mentions.
Okay. Fine. I will. I'm prepared to do that.
Excellent.
You're going to laugh when I tell you that the first thing I wrote on my honorable mentions list was Sterilizer. The first cassette I've bought in 20 years from Brandon Duncan.
Excellent.
Excellent job. The next album I wrote down was Mastodon.
I think you were copying off me.
Yeah, I might just be reading yours by accident. But I also want to throw on there, I'll make mine a little bit different. I also went out and I spent like $45 and I bought the live at Brixton?
Perhaps.
They had a couple live ones.
Yeah, the Mastodon album that came out on double vinyl that was limited release and everything. I bought that one, and it came with a DVD.
They had two versions of that, I think. There was one that was... Am I making this up? Anyway, sorry.
I don't know. I bought one of them anyway. So Mastodon made the list twice, kind of, in a way. I added Fallujah on there, if you guys have heard that. I hear a lot of metal. I'm not exposed to it as much as Seth and some of our other Twitter friends and everything, but... Fallujah jumped out at me as they're doing something different. And if you want to do any research in the story on their drummer had testicular cancer, went through chemo. Guy, I don't know how close he came to losing his life, but he was pretty sick and couldn't play for a long time. They were pulling touring drummers. He's back up and he's doing it again. He's a monster. They're such a good band. And I also added Baptist. With that album, Blood Mines, because I love Baptist, and like Jesse said a couple episodes ago, I won't shut up about them. I'm going to keep talking about them until everyone likes them.
Hmm.
That's my honorable mention list.
You have to start with me. I didn't dig that album.
You didn't like the Baptist album?
Didn't dig it, nope.
Okay, all right.
Just didn't do anything for me. Maybe next year it will. I don't know. It'll grow on me.
It didn't grab me by the throat as much as the first one. It took a couple listens, and I have to admit, that's why it's not in my top. It's good. It's not as good as the first one. I admit that, but yeah. I just love Baptist.
Cool.
I like the one song you played on the podcast. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I didn't even hear the album, though. Are you done?
I'm done. Now I'd like to pass the mic to Jesse J.
Careful with that mic, Wheezy.
Wow.
I also thought the Mastodon album was sweet. I got hooked up. My boss bought me the crazy $70 vinyl version for my birthday. So that was awesome. And I thought it was a solid album. I really like Mastodon. All their stuff. So here we are, the three of us just constantly wanking on about how awesome Mastodon is. Moving on from Mastodon, I really like the new Aphex Twin album. It's not rock. It's not metal. Probably you guys will make fun of me for it. I thought it was sweet.
I can't make fun of you. I haven't heard it.
It's called Syro, I think. I actually can't even remember, but my wife bought it for me, the triple LP, and the LP is awesome. I love it when super wide cuts, so it sounds just loud and clear, and it just thundering audio quality. I know obviously it's digital music, but the transfer to vinyl was great, and it sounds great through my stereo. I like Aphex Twin, and that's that album's cool. It's too new. Probably an Aphex Twin album would never actually top my, you know, best of, but it definitely makes honorable mention, and partly because the sound quality is sweet.
Cool. Triple vinyl. That's no joke. That's a lot of wax.
Yeah, it's cool, and they did a good job. I don't even know who the label is, but the vinyl quality is stellar. What else? Oh, yeah. The new LA Symphony album, for me, it's hip-hop. It's not rock. It's not metal. It's not punk, but I like it. I think I was... I don't really want to talk about how I was disappointed with it. It, all in all, I thought it was a good album and I liked it. Didn't make my top 10.
Okay.
Hypnogog, Dan Lively. Most people probably who know Veritas Vinyl know him from the Engraved album. He's got a cool kind of improv stoner doom project. They released an album, and dang it, the label name escapes me. But if you just Google Hypnogog, you can find it on Bandcamp. Improvisational. Like live in the studio, on the fly, stoner doom type recording. It's really cool. It's really great.
Okay.
And the Easter Teeth album. I know Veritas Vinyl put that out, but I really liked it. And in fact, that release was half old stuff, half new stuff. So the first or the second half of the CD was all previously released stuff. Had it all been new material, I think it would have cracked my top five. I really, really enjoyed that album.
And they're another band doing something that, like them or don't like them, they're different. They jump out. Definitely.
And most people, the feedback I've had from people on that album so far has been really, really good, and it's been well received. However, even the people who are like, yeah, you know, it's not my favorite, but it's pretty entertaining to listen to, even. So, like, even the people who don't really like it, like, they still find it entertaining because it is so unique and it is so much fun.
Right on.
So, I don't know, I could probably talk on about other albums, but those are the standouts for honorable mention for me.
So we got the honorable mention lists are all taken care of. Let's take a little break and we'll play something we've been listening to lately. Seth, what's been in your ear holes?
Probably we could play Wild Throne, the song Shadow Deserts.
Hey, did that album come out 2014?
Yes.
I'm
pretty sure it did.
If it's 2014, that jumps on my honorable mention list because I really like that album too. That's a great album.
Yeah, that was earlier, like February or March.
Perfect.
And, so great song. It's a trio, and it sounds huge, and it's I think that one of the producers is from or did Old At the Drive-In stuff. The No Relationship to Command album, I'm pretty sure. Steve Everett's, I think, is
go
his name.
On.
Just off the top of my head, so don't quote me on CNN about that.
Oh, I love At the Drive-In. I love At the Drive-In.
or on some lamb goat comment board. But yeah, it's really good.
Comment board.
All right. Do it. Here's a wild throne.
An excellent track, Wild Throne, Shadow Deserts, not Deserts. That would be two S's.
Mm.
Yeah.
go check that out. Shadow Desserts right now.
Yep. A lot of desserts. That album. So sweet. Yeah, launching the top five albums of 2014. Number five, Holly Hunt, Prometheus.
No, it's not an album. Prometheus is a movie.
Yeah, well, they stole the title.
Oh.
And used it as a that was in 2013.
Oh.
So they used it in 2014.
Stop talking.
It's not even an album. It's only three songs, but I don't care. I really like it.
Right on.
It's actually the original drummer from Floor.
Ah,
it's fantastic.
No way.
Yes. It's a two-person band, so really good stuff.
Hmm.
Number four would be Yotja, which is the name of the alien species from the Predator series. Yotja. Yes. They have a 13, 14-song album, Songs of Descent. It's a long album. It's a crusher, but it's still, like, listenable. Like,
that
you
is,
can actually...
That's a commitment. 14 songs?
Yeah,
three metal albums, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. Number three is a little more a lighter affair. Helmsley, Sleepwalking Sailors. Definitely the post-metal vibe. Very loosey-goosey. It's really good. It's really good. It's heavy in parts, a lot of spacey and others. Number two, Floor, Oblation.
I still have not listened to that Floor album.
You have not?
I don't know what's wrong with me. I love Torch. Nobody loves Torch more
than
me.
That's all right. You can come back and listen to it anytime. From here to eternity. It will be there waiting for you. That record, oh my goodness. I have listened to that nonstop. 2014, but and me, I was never into Floor beforehand, and that album opened the door for more Floor. I'll try not to be a bore.
Oh my god,
sorry. And finally, number one, which was a surprise to me, but totally, it was Mortals, Cursed to See the Future, on Relapse, their first album on Relapse. Like, most of the songs are 8 or 9 minutes long. It's loud. It's angry. It's just a three-piece band. It's incredible.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, and totally, the song we'll play from that is Mortals, and the song is called The Summoning.
Yeah.
Whoo! My top five are not as brutal as that. That song was unbelievable. I loved it. All right, so now we're going to do my top five. So get a coffee and be prepared to...
Or tea.
Be prepared to slow down a little bit because I'm not as metal as these guys are. Numbers 5 through 2 are not necessarily in order. I just kind of threw them on the list, but I have a definitive number one. So I'm just going to throw these next four out there. There's a band called Black Map that I cannot stop listening to. The lead singer slash bass player from the Trophy Fire, the guitarist from Dredge, and I am a huge Dredge fan, and the drummer from Far, and he played with Crosses for a while, formed a three-piece band who are, I don't know how to explain what they sound like. You have to go listen to them. I think they're the heaviest pop rock band I've ever heard. And it's not doing a good job describing them because pop is a naughty word. But they are so sludgy and so heavy, and they sound amazing. I love Black Map. They put out a 4-song EP. I bought it digitally. Then they released a full-length album, and it had the same 4 songs I already bought on it. I bought them again. I don't care. I love Black Map. I can't stop talking about those guys. I
remember you talking about them. I still have to check them out.
You were in my car with me, and we were listening to them, and you made the comment, oh, wow, listen to that. Listen to how heavy it gets, and you can still hear the bass. I remember you said that specifically.
Yeah.
That was them.
I guess I did listen to them.
It's crazy, thick, but, heavy. Yeah. They drop down into some heavy stuff while they're singing, and you were like, whoa. So you do like them, but you just don't.
I do. Yep. I do.
Another one that I got this year, Animals as Leaders put out The Joy of Motion. Good grief. I love that album, too. I told the story that, speaking of Skull Toaster.
Hey, Skull Toaster.
Yeah, SkullToaster.com. I befriended a buddy of mine named Jeremiah through Skull Toaster and all the tweeting and the twittering and the tooting. And him and I got to be pals. And that cat just bought me Animals as Leaders on vinyl because he wanted me to have it. It wasn't my birthday. It wasn't Flag Day. Nothing. He just said, I'm just going to do something nice for a guy, and he picked me. And that album means a lot to me because that happened. And then when I got it, it's front to back. It's really good. Animals as Leaders is like their first two albums were just guitar stunts and craziness. And this album is still untouchable guitar stuff, but it has more like structured song parts. It goes into like clean parts. It's not necessarily all just finger tap with all 12 fingers craziness. It's really well written album. I really like it. Can't get enough of that. Another album, Braid came out of retirement, and they put out an album called No Coast. I went to see Braid in Philly on this tour, and
they were away for a while, right?
Long, like, yeah, I'm going to throw it out there as, like, 14 years or something.
Wow, okay.
It's been a long time. And they got the original lineup back. They all went out and did their own thing and had kids, got married and all that stuff. They came back together, and they were probably one of the most accurate, best live bands I think I remember hearing in a long time. I saw them at the Boot and Saddle in Philly. And that crappy little room, for some reason, sounded unbelievable. I think I was really impressed with how they sounded, just as a venue, too. But Braid was a perfect complimentary band to how that room sounded. I walked out of there, like, jaw-dropped. Like, oh, I can't believe how good Braid sounded. They were great. They played old stuff. They played half the new album. New album's good. Very good, if you like that kind of stuff. And then I think this one is going to come in number 2 for the year. Local band, Secret Cutter. Polar opposite of Braid, that is for sure. Secret Cutter is two dudes from an old band called October Skyline, who they formed a three-piece band. It's a drummer. You all right back there?
Yeah.
All right, good. It's a drummer, a guitar player, and a vocalist, and that's it. There's no bassist. These guys rolled in with more equipment than I see in 5-member bands. The guitar stacks, you walked in and you were like, whoa, what's going on? And then 3 guys get up there and you're like, really? Just the one guy? Yeah, they were I think they're the heaviest band I've ever heard. Shaking the floor of the place. It was on the 2nd-story venue of the record release party, and the entire floor was just shaking the whole night. It was They are so heavy. And I've played one of their songs before on the podcast. You got to check out Secret Cutter. I got their limited edition, blah, blah, blah. I bought it right from the band. I got it in orange vinyl.
You tweeted me from that show. And that's how I started listening to them as well.
And then you didn't.
Yeah.
You had something to do with kind of pushing their publicity around a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, we got talking. We got working together a little bit to get it out and about, get some reviews for it and stuff. Yeah, it did pretty well.
Me. So I'm taking responsibility.
You
Secret Cutter success.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and if the music sucked, it wouldn't have got reviewed, but it was really good. I think it's a testament to that as well. So,
but mostly me though.
Mostly. Yes. In all my emails, I said this is coming from Travis. So yeah.
It's all about Trav. Gotta love that. Yeah. I can't say enough good things, and I sent it around to the right people, and Seth heard it and he did his thing. And I think Secret Cutter got some reviews out of it. I'm proud.
And they won a Grammy
again. No,
again.
My number one, I'm going to dip it back down underneath the metal. This is I think I've said this before on the podcast too. The number one album that I listened to the most this year, like if I went in and actually did the play counts in iTunes and everything, they would win hands down. Humphreys McGee came out with Similar Skin on my anniversary. Came out on June 10th. I remember that. Humphreys McGee. What can I say? Those guys, they're a jam band, they're a prog band, they're a metal band sometimes, they're the Grateful Dead sometimes, they're all over the place. They encompass everything I've ever heard in all the different bands I've ever heard, and they pull it off in one show. And you go see them one night, and they cover the Police, and the next night they cover Iron Maiden, and the next night they cover Steely Dan. They're crazy. These guys are all nuts. So Humphreys McGee is my number one for 2014. And the song that I picked is called Cut the Cable.
I'm closer to my coffin now. The offer's on the table, but I'm unable, found and lost somehow. Situation stable, I cut the cable. We'll be right back.
There you have it. The Professor's number one pick of 2014, Humphreys McGee. That's pretty good. Honestly, I've only listened to it here on the podcast. You sent me... Did we just play one of their songs, or did we play a couple?
To the best of my recollection, I think we only played Bridgeless by them on one episode.
Yeah, that sounds right. I probably need to look into that more. That is entertaining. I like anybody who kind of brings something new to the table like that or is entertaining. I mean, it doesn't all have to be drudgery. It's music. It's supposed to be fun, right?
Yeah, yes. That's, yes, exactly right.
And scene points. And accruing scene points.
I forgot. That is indeed what it is all about. My bad. Well, I'm not going to accrue any scene points with my list. My list is not cool and hip at all.
It totally is.
I usually, I'm a nerd, and I usually pick like, oh, this one musically was moved me, and this was more technical. I got all this stupid criteria. I try to categorize dumb lists into and stuff. I picked my top five this year off of, excuse me, off of what I cannot seem to stop listening to. Now, my number five should be, for me, it came out in 2013, although it was not actually released until 2014. Unteachers. So, let me just sit here and stroke Trav's ego for a minute. No, it's a great album. It's really,
keep your hands off my ego.
It's really, really good all the way through. I really like it. Yep.
I second that. It's a fantastic album.
It's great.
And I'm friends with that guy, Travis, too. So,
and at some point, we keep meaning to have Stevie on here so he can talk about how great it is, too. And
it almost happened today, but he's having a baptism for his new daughter. And I guess that takes priority over this podcast, according to him.
Whatever, dude. I told him to blow that crap off, but he didn't do it, so I don't know.
He'll be on shortly. He'll be on shortly.
It's a great album. We've played Unteachers on the podcast before. We're going to play more when Stevie's on, so I'm not going to play it here. And actually, I think he did like a whole episode with The Antidote. And then when I did my episode with The Antidote, the guy still played a couple of Unteacher songs. That's how good it is. The kids Thanks. Can't get enough of it.
The kids can't get enough.
And in fact, the first episode Trav was on here, he just wanked on about how great the album was too for the whole episode, I think.
Is that how it went?
No, we did a lot of Unteachers talk, so we'll move on. Great album. Go buy it or listen to it on Spotify or some, you know, you can find it everywhere.
No, go buy it.
Yeah.
Go listen to it on Spotify.
I mean, I would prefer if you bought like all three colors of vinyl. I mean,
if you guys
really
knew what we went through to press that piece of shit on vinyl.
We'll go into
finally
more.
Finally, it's been made, and it's only $12, and you're telling people to go to Spotify.
We'll go into more details about why we call it the Ugg Teachers album when Stevie's on.
Ugg.
But
it's finally done. Ugg.
It was a trial, and it was worth it. It's a great album.
Thank you.
So go buy it. Just listen to it somewhere. Honestly, I don't care. Don't buy it. Just listen to it somewhere. My number four for me, probably, honestly, would have been higher on the list had I heard them sooner. I cannot stop listening to Black Cat Attack. And we played them on the last episode. And, like, content-wise, they're just hilarious. It's fun, funny songs, and it's great. And musically, it's solid. It's good. It's punk. It's like a little bit more maybe technical punk. There's some kind of like breakdown-y parts or kind of thrashy, metal-y kind of parts. I'm not sure exactly how to describe it at times, but
it is good. It's surprisingly good. When you describe them as like they're like a joke kind of this band, and they kind of all their lyrics are funny, and it almost sounds like they're, I forget how you described it on the podcast, but I was kind of rolling my eyes. And you played the song, and I was like, okay, I take it back. They're pretty legit.
They've got three albums. The album that came out this year was called Bright Side of the Moon, and it's hilarious. All three albums are good. The newest one, I think, is my favorite. At least it's the one I've listened to the most. Number three, I love Off. I really, really love Off.
Great music video.
I was obviously a huge fan of like the Circle Jerks and all that stuff back in the day. And excuse me. I love Off, and the new album is great. It's, if you've heard their first couple albums, it's the same as those, but it's more of it. And I absolutely love it, and I have a hard time turning it off when I do put it on. Number two, the new Earth album, Primitive and Deadly. It was... That one was more of like a instantly reached out and just grabbed me. I ordered the vinyl from Southern Lord, and it never comes with a download. So I had to wait till the vinyl actually showed up. I didn't get the instant gratification. And when I finally put it on my turntable and just cranked it, it blew my mind.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Please.
Why doesn't Southern Lord ever put digital downloads in their albums?
I don't know. Somebody who knows somebody from Southern Lord, tell them to start putting digital in there.
Maybe it's some like technological thing to keep track of that they just don't have the means to do. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
Like digital delivery and unique codes for everything. Printing the codes, maybe. I don't know.
It's pretty easy to do through Bandcamp, but...
Yeah, I mean... Yeah.
I don't know. What do I know? I'm a pretend label, so...
If they're like vinyl purists that are like, no, you're only getting it on vinyl, I respect that, but at the same time, I could really use that loincloth album in my iPod. It would really be nice, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I got.
I feel like as a consumer, from the consumer side of it, when you're paying $30 for... an LP, a double LP, and then you got to go pay $10 on iTunes to get it. That's kind of weak. I mean, you're paying $30 plus shipping. You got to wait for it. At that point, I think that kind of thing really encourages people to just steal music digitally. You know, some people are into that. Some people aren't into that. I think that helps lead to it. I mean, come on, just give us the digital with it. But for whatever reason, it doesn't come with the digital. Still an awesome album. I bought the digital in addition to the vinyl. That's how much I liked it. I was willing to buy it twice.
Can I interject, too? I saw Earth a couple months ago in Atlanta, and holy moly. I think it was my second time seeing Earth, and they were fantastic. They put on such a good live show.
I've never seen them, but I hear that nobody talks bad about their live shows.
Yeah, fantastic.
I would love to see Earth.
Yeah.
My number one album of the year, the latest Witch Mountain album. And the last album with their singer, Uda. She's splitting the band. They're going to continue on. They're looking for another singer, I understand. But, yeah, I love Witch Mountain. I liked them before Uda, even. Grace and Thieves actually played a few shows with them way back in the day when we were all based out of Portland. And just awesome. I absolutely love it. And the new album... is really good all the way through, but for my every one of their albums for me, they're all really good all the way through, but there's always that one song that kind of floors me, and the song that really really just floored me is called Sour the Hymn, and it almost kind of makes you want to cry. It's that good. So it's pretty exciting that I really love that album. I really love that song. It's also a little sad that Uta's leaving, because she really, really brought something to that band. They're incredible musicians. They're great songwriters. I'm sure they'll find somebody, not necessarily to take her place, but somebody to continue on. And I look forward to the next album. But in the meantime, I'm going to listen to this one again and again and again. So, we are contractually obligated to say things like blah, 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 skulltoaster.org.au.
That's .com, sir.
Skulltoaster.xxx. I think they moved it, didn't they?
.io.
Go to skulltoaster.com for hot bearded guys. Also, nerdy metal trivia.
Metal trivia and all that fun stuff.
Yeah. Everybody knows what Skull Toaster is at this point, and if you haven't signed up to follow it on Twitter or follow the email, then just do it. What are you waiting for? I certainly don't know what could be holding you back. It's 2014. Nope, 2015.
Operators are standing by.
Ready to take your email form submission or your follow on
absolutely
the Twitter. Also, nobody's – okay, we had the first song that nobody guessed, the intro song. Or everybody kept guessing wrong. Nobody's even submitted a guess for the new intro. I honestly
don't even know what it is. I'm going to go with, is it Over Mortal?
That's a good guess, because half the songs we play that are intros are Over Mortal.
Crap.
No, I don't know. Is this one too hard too? Come on, this is like a punk standard whatever. Somebody guess it. Email us, blackvioncollective@gmail.com. Hit us on Facebook or Twitter. Use the Google machine to find us. And submit your guess. And while you're at it, tell us what you're listening to. We want to hear cool new music. Hit us up and talk to us. And if you get the guess, if you guess correctly, I'll send you some records. If you live out of the country, you got to cover the shipping. You're out of luck, because they just charge the crap. It's like $22 to mail an LP to Sweden. Sorry,
Swedish.
That's bonkers.
I couldn't get it there for $22 myself, so really, I guess it's kind of a steal. But
be cheaper for you to just visit America and swing by Colorado and get it from Jesse.
Like a year ago, it was $14. So anyway, enough about my shipping gripes. Guess the song, win free records, hit us up. The last, I don't know, week or two ago, Joe Cocker died. Joe Cocker was a musical legend.
Yes, he is.
He's got a house here in Colorado. Not actually too far from where I live. And I had the opportunity to meet him once, and actually a couple times. And he was just one of the most down-to-earth, nicest guys ever. I remember playing my mom's Joe Cocker 45s as a 10-year-old kid, you know, listening to him on the record player. And to meet him was kind of cool. But I also, he had this just stacks and stacks and stacks of gold records, like framed plaque, gold record type things, just in piles in his basement. And he was such a down, he was such a down to earth guy that you could just walk up to him and be like, "Hey Joe, how come you got these all piled up here?" And he was just like, "Yeah, that's cool and everything, but I don't make music for the awards and things." And not too long ago, he put out a new album, and it was the album he wanted to make. And that's just kind of cool. You don't see that too often. I mean, we did our episode about sellouts and everything, and I don't think he was a sellout. I don't know. Maybe he was. But he was a cool dude. And so let's close out this episode with a little Joe Cocker. Y'all got anything else to say?
Do it.
Yeah, man. Happy New Year, listeners. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, hit us up somehow and tell us what your top 5 or 10 are, and tell us how stupid we are for picking the ones we picked.